Welcome back into the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 121. We thank you so much for joining us. We are discussing what I think is a important concept for young men specifically in today's kind of culture, work culture specifically, I guess society in general for young men, and that is the idea of contentment versus staying hungry for things. Contentment, you know, you can say contentment versus complacency, which is kind of those two are typically paired together. And for young men, Joe, we have made the point before and repeatedly with this podcast to strive for greatness, to look to accomplish things, to look to achieve things, to not just be the guy that's content to or that's complacent, I guess I should say, with, you know, working his, you know, menial job and then going home and playing video games for hours and never really making anything of your life. And so that's kind of been a big theme for us, is again kind of pushing for more and really working for the promotion and trying to go out and accomplish things. And we had a brief discussion on this in episode 78, kind of back, I think, Life is a Journey was what we titled it or something like that. But what we want to look at today is just the idea of, like, how do you stay content? Because I had used that word by accident a second ago. Contentment is a very biblical principle. Contentment is something that we as godly young men should want to have in our lives, should have as our perspective, and yet we obviously still believe in the idea of staying hungry, like not being complacent, not just never wanting to grow, to broaden our horizons, to grow our knowledge. Obviously, this applies to Scripture, but it also applies to just everyday life. So, yeah, what introductory thoughts do you have?
Well, yeah, so shout out to Joshua Carroll on our Discord. Make sure to join the Discord. Link will be in the description, because we do take listener suggestions and such. And
all the guys, Josh is awesome.
Shout out Josh. So this was one of his suggestions. And yeah, as you said, we covered complacency, contentment versus complacency in episode 78 briefly. I initially started to write the outline. I wrote the outline for this. And I wrote it from that point of view, looking at the definitions of contentment versus complacency, and both are kind of rooted in satisfaction, but one's earned and one's not. And then it hit me, you know, as we were talking, like, this is less about complacency, and his comment as well was more about staying hungry. And we don't want to pit those two things against one another, because we think both of those are possible. But unfortunately, I mean, when you think about, like, I don't think we have a lot of guys that, if you listen to our podcast, nobody's going to say that we're okay with laziness. I don't think we have a lot of guys that are looking to be lazy that are listening to this podcast.
Right.
So the idea of complacency, that's probably not where you are. The question is, how much is too much? So when you think about that, you can think about guys like, the ones that come to mind are workaholics, the ultra greedy, I think of the 80s, right, where it's money, money, money.
Climbing the corporate ladder.
Exactly. Yeah. Greed is good and things like that. And so that's staying hungry, and they lose their family, and they are just working 100-plus hour weeks, and they're always in the office taking phone calls 24/7. Okay, yeah, obviously that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's a problem for us godly young men. This is something I've struggled with in my life. I think you and I have both talked about, we've struggled with this, of like, when is enough enough? They asked John D. Rockefeller one time, when do you know you have enough money? You're like, how much is enough? Just a little more. Just a little more. Richest man in the world at the time. I mean, they say he was worth billions of dollars. Just a little more.
You even see that, like, in sports, Tom Brady was famously asked, like, well, what's your favorite Super Bowl ring? And what was his answer? The next one.
The next one.
The next one's my favorite. Yep. Yeah.
And to the point that he lost his family. Like,
he did.
That was the, I don't know, as a theory going around. I think the, wasn't it that she left because he went back for another season?
Yeah, there's been some rumblings that she was cheating on him with her, like, yoga instructor or whatever. But yes, initially, that was very well reported that she did not want him to play that additional year.
He just couldn't
ready for him to be done, and he wanted to play again.
Because he had, what, 6 Super Bowl rings or 7 at the time?
I think at that point he had 7. He had 7, and he wanted to play 2 more years,
Just kept going, couldn't be content, and he lost his family because of it. So we can look at those, but I think for us, we can fall into the same trap of never really finding peace in life because it's the next thing, a little bit more, a little bit more.
Well, that leads to an interesting question, Joe, that I'm going to kind of put you on the spot for as we get into this.
Sure.
Because you hear that term, or that phrase, I guess, never satisfied. Never satisfied. Is that a good thing? Is do you agree with that? Again, putting you on the spot here, but to me that really kind of epitomizes exactly what we're talking about here of, like, usually the premise behind never satisfied is this idea of staying hungry, right? Of continuing to grow. And that's obviously something that both of us can get behind and say, yes, we should. But specifically as it comes to those two words, never satisfied, do you agree with that? Do you think that that should be a godly young man's mantra, or do you think that maybe that's off base a little bit?
Reading Goggins' book, David Goggins, Never Finished, and that's like the entire premise is Don't be satisfied. And part of it, it's like, man, I really resonate with this. On the other hand, I think to the point that maybe you're getting at and asking the question, no, I don't think that is good. I think there is a time to be satisfied. We looked at this, I think, in our last episode. There's a time for everything, right? Or maybe two episodes ago, rather. I think there's a time to be satisfied. There's a time to just, as Ecclesiastes says, which is, you know, also in that book, that's Ecclesiastes 3, but throughout the book, he says, just enjoy the fruits of your labor. Like, sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. There's a time and place for that. Doesn't mean that Solomon was lazy. Doesn't mean he wasn't accomplishing greatness. It means sometimes in life there's a time to sit back and go, man, this is really cool. I'm really proud of what we've accomplished. But in that, there's an inherent fear that once we say that, we're just going to stop. We're going to be done.
Yeah.
We're going to go into stagnation. We're going to go into laziness. We're going to be too complacent. So if we ever say we are satisfied, that's why we say never satisfied, never satisfied. What we mean by that is got to go, 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 go. What I mean by that is we sit back, we be satisfied in the moment. We go, wow, this is really cool. We just take in the moment like, I've come a really far way. I'm really proud of where I am. And then we use that to spur us on to even further and further heights, right? To even greater heights. So am I ever really satisfied? No, but I think that's the overarching picture. In individual moments, we can be, if that makes sense. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into semantics necessarily about the definitions of words and things, but like, I think a lot of it does depend on your definition of satisfaction. My fear, and I guess my reason behind saying like, I don't necessarily think that's the best thing, is because imagine that never satisfied mentality. Like, burnout is almost inevitable at that point.
No doubt.
When you have the never satisfied with your career, never satisfied with where you are, you know, constantly looking for the next thing, constantly go, 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 go. Like, as you said, it's a very, like, high strung almost, very intense, very, like, yeah, I just got the promotion. Great. All right, what's next? Never satisfied. You know,
right,
like,
right.
I appreciate what you were saying about kind of recognizing in the moment, appreciating that. And to me, that's where I would differ is I think my difference would be it's not that I'm never satisfied. I think maybe sometimes I'm satisfied and then I'm ready to grow. You're always looking for areas and opportunities to grow. Again, you can talk about spiritual knowledge, talk about, you know, books and growing your knowledge base, learning a new skill, you know, stuff like that. I think is really good to always be looking for areas to grow. But the idea of being never satisfied, like, I'm very satisfied with my family, like, yeah, with where I am, you know, with my family and where we are, you know, living. If it was never satisfied to me, is like, all right, when can we buy the next house?
Right.
All right, when can I get the next car? You know, when can I get another zero in my bank account? Like, well, obviously, those are things we're shooting for. I don't want to live in the house I'm in for the next 30 years necessarily. Sure. But I don't know. So I guess I'm kind of torn and not really giving an answer on that. But I think overall, it's a dangerous thing. But obviously, swinging the pendulum the other direction into complacency of never planning for the future, never looking to grow is bad as well. I just think the never satisfied thing can really be, I don't know, can be harmful sometimes.
There's almost a level of like, and this is, we worry about complacency, but always satisfied. Mm. We're satisfied in the moment. You look at Paul in Philippians 4, yeah, like, I've learned to be content in all situations. If we're always satisfied, it's kind of the Hulk thing of like, the secret is I'm always angry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always like, if we're always nice satisfied,
Bruce Banner.
Yeah, there you go. For those that, I guess I am a geek, don't go watching too much. No, just kidding. But in the Avengers, right? And he says, the secret is that I'm always angry. Like, maybe that's the secret for us, is always being satisfied and with
content. Yeah.
And content, really. Yeah. Always being content with what we have in the moment. And then you go, well, what wouldn't you stop striving for greatness? No, because I think, and this is what's going to get us into our outline. Actually, this is kind of the third point on the outline, but that goes against who I am and what God has given me in my life. God's given me great opportunity to achieve. I owe it to God to achieve greatness, in my opinion. The take dominion, the mandate that goes all the way back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, that's given to every man and woman, in my opinion, is to take dominion of what God has put you in charge of. And I can be content in the moment with where I'm at and say, man, I'm proud of certain things, but I'm content that if I didn't grow from here, would I be okay? I mean, to some degree, I suppose, yeah, I have a lot, like you said, family, and if I don't end up making any more money, like, God has given me enough to live on, I can be content and be grateful for the blessings God has given me, but I also know that God is giving me opportunities to go do, to achieve greatness, and so, I don't know. Man, that's a tough one.
Well, I think about Paul for a second, and then if you want to get into, I think your definition of contentment on here is kind of goes perfectly with what we're talking about. Paul's content in all things. Obviously, Philippians 4, the context of that is like, even when things are going really bad, you know, things are not going well for him.
Right.
He's learned how when he has plenty and when he basically has nothing.
Poverty.
Right? Yeah, poverty, when he's abased and when he abounds, essentially, are the two words that he uses. He's learned to be content. But you think about from the two sides of things, do you think Paul was pretty satisfied with his level of evangelism and his level of preaching and teaching the gospel? Like, I would think he was satisfied, like happy and content with that, but he also never stopped either.
I was gonna say, he's still baptized. He's right. Still doing things,
he never reached a point where he was like, all right, I think I'm good. I've met my quota, so right. to speak. And so I'm not trying to speculate on Paul's mental capacity as far as contentment versus stagnation here. But I think of, you know, going all the way back to the Bible with somebody who, let's be honest, achieved incredible things. Like, yep. You talk about striving for greatness.
Paul wrote half the New Testament. So
very much did. Okay. I don't know that he had the never satisfied mentality, is I guess what I'm getting at. So, yep. Joe, get into your definition of contentment, which ties directly into what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
contentment,
here.
This is just from the Apple Dictionary. I looked it up. I didn't like the definition from Webster's, so I decided this one. Well, the definition for contentment from Webster's is a state of being content, like, thanks.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah. Woo. Contentment on the Apple Dictionary, a state of happiness or satisfaction.
There you go.
I don't think these two things should be mutually exclusive, but I think a lot of times we make them that. I can't be happy if I'm satisfied. I always got to be going and going, and that's what makes me happy is the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Like, this is putting them together, state of happiness or satisfaction, saying we're in a place where we can be satisfied with what we have, which is content, which is happiness. But as you said, I think this, you correctly pointed out, that really leads to burnout. Yeah. When we can't be happy with where we're at, we can never be satisfied with ourselves, or we can't be happy until we're pushing to the next thing. At some point, you do burn out because it's like, what am I pushing for? Why do I need the next thing? Is it a need or is it a desire? And I think that's what drives this is, are we, here goes my phrase again, are we running to or are we running away from? And I think the need of, like, I have to be more. Why? Why do you have to be more? Are you trying to prove something to somebody? You're trying to prove it to yourself? Or is it, I'm content, but I want more. Why do you want more? Because God has given me the opportunity to go out and to, you know, perfect the physique and to make a little more money and the things like that. Like, I do want to achieve greatness in whatever it is. I don't need it because God has blessed me with where I'm at. He's clothed the lilies of the field and fed the birds of the air. He's doing the same to me, so I know that I'm content with where I'm at. But I do want to do these things, specifically to His glory.
Well, I think about, my thoughts on that would be, I do think about our time as men, specifically when you get married. Josh Carroll, shout out, just got married. Lord willing, maybe in a few years he'll have a few kids down the line. That's where Joe and I are right now. If I've learned anything in my time, you know, getting married and having kids over the last 6 years, is that my time, it is a zero-sum game. My time is a finite resource. If I spend time doing one thing, that is less time that I'm going to be able to spend doing something else. The same goes for my mental faculties. If I spend time thinking about or using my mind for something over here, guess what? That's less time I'll have for this. So why I bring that up is, I do think a lot of it comes down to, with the never satisfied or with kind of pushing for more, how much time and how much mental capacity are you spending obsessing about the next thing?
Yeah.
I think it's healthy. I think it's good to look ahead and plan for, how am I going to make a little more money? How can I get promoted? How can I maybe start a side hustle? How can I, grow my, work out and maybe, you know, either bulk or cut or whatever. Like, you have to spend time and mental capacity doing those things. A too high of a percentage of that means, guess what? Your time and your mental capacity for, or faculties for your kids and your family, that's less for that.
Right.
And so I think, and what that percentage is, I can't say, but I think there is a healthy percentage where look, you're not neglecting your family. You're not neglecting your spiritual duties. You're not neglecting your church family, and you have some left over, and not left over, but you have a percentage of your time and your mental, mental capacity, I guess would be the best word,
sure.
To put towards growth and to put towards pursuing the next thing. But if you're weighted far too heavily in that direction, again, I feel like that's where you can neglect the, you know, not being able to play with your kids at night. I got to do the side hustle. I've really got to work on this business, or I've got to crank out these articles, or whatever it is that you find yourself devoting that to, or I got to work out or something like that. I do think there is a balance, and I can't say what that is for every person. Every person's situation is different. But if you're the dad that comes home from his regular job and you got 5 or 6 more hours of work left to do, as I, unfortunately, that sometimes that is the case for me, I do feel guilty about that. Sure. It's like, well, I'm making a little bit more money. Am I spending enough time with my kids that I'm supposed to? Am I treasuring my wife and spending time with her in the best ways that I can? And so those are kind of – I wanted to bring that up as well of like a lot of it just truly does depend on how you're using your finite resource of time.
I like that point. And I also was thinking while you're talking about it, like what's the point of you doing these things? Mm-hmm. Is the point of you working harder not to be able to financially provide, but also in financial provision for your family, like you would hope that there's some time in there to enjoy that with them, that you're not just putting food on the table. Why do you work out? Because I want to be able to like run around the yard with my kids. I want to be able to protect my wife. I want to make sure I'm showing up for her, even sexually in the bedroom. Like I want to have a healthy sex drive and I want to be able to please her and I want to be able to, you know, be with my kids into my old age. And so that starts with me doing these things. To me, that shifts the perspective as to why we're doing this in the first place. And as you talked about, finding contentment in, you know, so yeah, why do we strive for greatness in the workplace? Why do we push for the promotion or whatever it is? Because ultimately, we want to be able to provide better for our families. Yeah. If it's a prestige thing, if it's a pride thing or an arrogance thing, or even coming from a low sense of self of like, I'm going to prove that I'm enough.
Yeah,
that's not going to get it. For you. That's not going to prove anything to you that you're enough, because it's going to be the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. You'll never be enough. If you're not enough now, another Marvel quote, but like, I'm a geek today, I guess. I don't know.
It's Tony Stark, right?
It's Tony Stark. Yeah. If you're nothing without the suit, you'll be, or if you're nothing with the suit, you'll be nothing without the suit, whatever it is. You know, I'm butchering the quote, but the point I'm getting to is if you're not enough now, you won't be enough when you get to that point. If you're enough now, you go, well, then I'm not going to pursue greatness. Then you are failing yourself, in my opinion. Like, that's where the real problem comes in, is you are a failure if you aren't trying to achieve greatness because you can. Not because you have to, not because that's your identity, but because you can. And so,
real fast, before we get to the three keys, I know we're trying to stay away from kind of the contentment versus complacency thing, but I think it's pretty easy to see the difference.
Right.
In my opinion. Like, complacency is, I have plateaued. Again, I'm never going to try to expand my horizons. I'm content with where I'm at, to the point where I am not ever really going to pursue anything different. And to the point that we've made before is, if you have that in one aspect of your life, that's going to bleed over into other areas. And so if you're like, okay, I'm pretty complacent with the way that I eat and the way that I exercise, I don't really have any desire to get better, that's probably going to bleed over into your spiritual life, right? Like, I'm pretty content with my Bible knowledge, don't really need to read any other books, I don't really need to take any other classes, I don't really need to, like, that's not a good thing. That's complacency. And I do feel like it's pretty easy to see the difference between this idea of being content, being satisfied, but also not being complacent. I don't want anybody to think that those two things are the same.
Right, I agree. So we have three keys on here. I'm going to come back around. I got some thoughts on, I'm going to come back around to some of this, if I remember to, by the end, by the third point. We got three keys to staying content while also staying hungry. Those are two things we want, both of those. We do want to continue to pursue and such. But the first one is gratitude. You can be content when you are anchored by gratitude for what you have, not by a desire for what you do not have. Yeah. I think the anchoring point of this is, man, I've been blessed. I'm really grateful for what God has allowed me to do. I'm grateful for where I am in my life. If you're hitting the gym, be grateful for the gains that you've had. Be grateful for the fact that you can even go to the gym, that you have a car to get up and walk. Yeah. Right, you can get up and walk. That's not the reality for a lot of people. The ability to just walk, they don't have that. So we can be grateful and go, man, I'm grateful that I have, I'm thankful to God that I have the opportunity to go out and to achieve greatness. That's the foundational principle, I think, to contentment, but also to even staying hungry, is just being thankful for what we have and saying, man, it's not like I have to get more. It's like, no, but God has put it in my path that I can go and achieve greatness, that I can go and take dominion. I'm grateful for the opportunities He's presented. And sometimes it's not your opportunity. And this is where people push in and they're like, and I got to work that third and fourth job. Maybe that's not your time. Maybe God has given you enough in your time in this moment. You have to figure out your priority and say, my priority is my family.
Yeah.
If I don't see my family because I'm working 90 hours a week, but in all reality, if I really dialed it back to like 60 hours a week, we would still be able to make it, and I'd still be able to be there for my family. You have to think about what matters to you in that moment, but be thankful for the fact that you have a family. You're going to lose your family because you're hungry. You're, you know, always got to be going. Like, no, look around, gain some, we'll get to the perspective in a moment, but like, realize there's a lot to be grateful for and let that drive you to greatness.
I think gratitude is one of the most important traits for anybody, but specifically for this podcast, godly young men to have, because, man, gratitude we're about to get into perspective, but it right. gives you such a perspective of, you know, specifically everything that I have, my abilities, the job that I work, the money that's in the bank, my net worth, the, you know, the skills I've acquired, whatever it is, I can't take credit for that. Yeah. I'm grateful to God. And this is why, and, you know, in your prayer life, I'd encourage you, like, man, don't just do the basic thank you for your blessings. Like, name the things yeah. that you are grateful to God for, specifically in detail. I'm grateful. I thank God every day for a job where, or a job that allows me to earn a living for my family, a job that I get to eat for free. You know, it's a very small thing, but it's like, that's a huge blessing. You yeah. know, that a lot of my food is covered by where I work, and, you know, whatever it is for you. I mean, there's some people that have, my brother, giving my brother a hard time the other day, more so he was giving me a hard time. You know, he gets 6 weeks of paid vacation. Six weeks. My brother works
paid?
At, yeah, paid. He works at Publix in the customer service department. He's working his way up. He's been there forever. It's been great. He, but yeah, bro gets 6 weeks of vacation. I was like, forget you.
I got to start talking to my clients. Can you pay me while I'm not
yeah, exactly.
with you?
That's one, you know, it might sound silly, but like, man, thank God for that. That's a blessing that right. obviously you've worked hard for, and in his case that he's worked hard for. But thank him for those things. And so I guess what I'm getting at is like, this is such an important trait. It's such an important thing to include in your prayer life, to include in just when you're driving into work and or driving to the gym or whatever, like being grateful for the sunrise, being grateful. I thank God most days that I had, you know, had the energy to get up and get out of bed and be motivated and go to the gym. Like, I don't know. Those are blessings. Those come from God is the
right.
point.
Well, and thank him for the opportunities, right? So yes. I think about Reese working at his job in Publix. He's worked his way up. That doesn't mean that he was content, like, well, I'm not going to grow. And that doesn't mean that he's so hungry to the point that he's lost sight of things. It means I was working unto the Lord in the where I was.
He's been dedicated
to it.
He's been
dedicated to it. So every day he gets up, he puts his time in, he puts his effort in. He stays hungry at his job, even though not every day is about, I got to get better, got to get better. It's like, I'm working unto the Lord. I'm going to give it my very best. I'm going to be thankful for the opportunities I have. And he's had opportunities to move up, and he's taken those opportunities.
Yep.
So he can be thankful for those and stay hungry at the same time. But I do think that when we lose sight of gratitude okay. and we can't be grateful for where we're at, and it's always the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the John D. Rockefeller guy, you got like $5 billion in the bank. Like, let's pump the brakes here for a second on, I just need a little bit more. When is it enough? Just be thankful for what you have and say, you know, I'm content. And if I had $2 in the bank account, but I had all my needs covered and God was watching over me, I'd be content. I'd be working hard, but I'd be content. Like, that's key. So point number two, we already alluded to.
I was going to say, we talked about it kind of, but.
Right, which is just perspective. You can be content when you maintain perspective
so
on what is actually important. So gratitude's first key. Perspective is the second key. This is really just the forest for the trees. I think we have to be able to zoom out from time to time. And you made this point off air, as we're talking about, this is a great point. Like, you still are going to have your salvation. Lord willing, you still have your family.
You
still
have a foundation.
Have your life. Correct. And you're still, Lord willing, hopefully going to have some more opportunities to make a difference and to grow and to change and to be a better person today and to be a better person tomorrow. Those are, once again, gratitude for those things, but it's the perspective of saying, I still have all of these things, even if I've lost so much, even if I'm not always gaining, I still have perspective on this.
Yeah. So I brought up also Luke 12. 16 through 21, I think is the exact verse reference, but it's the parable or the story about the guy that, you know, has so much and is doing so well that he's like, I'm going to tear down my old barns and build, you know, big, newer barns,
and
build even bigger barns, be able to store all my wealth. And, you know, the point of the story was basically God saying, fool, calls him a fool. Do you not, I forget how he phrased it, but basically your soul will be required of you this night. Essentially, you're going to die, and all these great plans that you made about how great you're doing mean nothing.
Right.
And sometimes people will use that story or that parable to basically say, well, you shouldn't make plans, you shouldn't save for retirement, that kind of thing. That's ridiculous.
Right.
The point is, the guy made all these plans without any view or without any mindset of God.
Right.
He did not include God in his plans. He was focused on what he was going to do, what he was going to accomplish. He didn't have perspective.
Right.
He did not have perspective. And so he was not content. He stayed really hungry, but it was, again, that he lacked the proper perspective of God is the one who's blessed me with all these things. If I'm going to get to where I want to go, which there's nothing wrong with having a goal in mind of where you want to go for, again, job, career, money, you know, income, whatever it is, nothing wrong with that. You got to realize God's going to be the one that's going to help you get there. And in that story, he did not mention God whatsoever. It was all about him. And so that was what I thought of when we're talking about this perspective of being content while staying hungry. You have to have the perspective, as you spoke to, and as I was talking about before we started, even if, what happens if you don't? What happens if you don't get there?
Right.
What happens if you don't achieve your, you know, chase your dream, achieve your dreams or achieve your goals? Is it the end of the world? Are you going to go into depression, or do you have the foundation to realize, like, this is what I'm going to strive for? If I don't make it, I still have a family that loves me. I still have a savior. I still have salvation. I still have a great church family. I still have all these great blessings. And so that's going to propel me to chase it or to strive for it. And if I don't hit it, you know, this is where I don't think it's complacent to say that's okay.
I was talking with somebody recently about that. Man, they're so afraid of failing. I just can't fail. I can't fail. I can't fail. And finally, just was like, what's wrong with failure? Why are you so afraid of failure? And reframing failure a little bit of like, failure is when you just give up completely. Failure is the complacency of not wanting to take the opportunities presented to you, not wanting to be the best man possible, not wanting to provide for your family. All of those, to me, that's the failure.
Yeah.
Failure is not risk and getting knocked back. That is a bump along the road, a speed bump along your journey. It's perspective that allows us to see that bigger picture, to take those risks and to achieve greatness while realizing we don't fall back to square one. We have these things. We have the love of God. We have the love of our family. We don't lose those things. And so what do we, you know, like, what's the problem with failure? You really have to wrestle with that in your mind.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
Why am I so afraid to fail in this moment? Maintain perspective and say, what should be driving me is, once again, this desire to go out and to achieve greatness because I can, because God's given me the ability to, because my family, I'm setting up a family legacy that's going to last. That's really cool. That's something that's amazing, rather than I'm just so afraid to fail. I can't fail. I can't fail. I can't fail. Pull it back. Ask yourself, why can't you fail? Maintain perspective. But the third one, this gets into it. This is going to wrap us up here, which is identity. You can be content in where you are if you know who you are. You can be content in where you are if you know who you are. I think there's a level of, this to me is the linchpin. Like, when we struggle to know who we are, when we struggle to know, am I enough? When we struggle
that's
to know.
That's where you're always trying to prove something.
Correct. Yeah. You're always trying to prove something. You're working from a deficit. So the guy who's lazy and complacent, you think about what he's working from. He's working from a place of like, oh, I'm never going to get there. What's the point? Which is low self-esteem.
Yeah.
The guy who is always going, always hungry, never satisfied, the David Goggins, never finished, you know, always one more rep, one more mile, whatever it is. That's also coming from a place of low self-esteem. It's coming from a place of, I'm not enough without this. I'm going to be enough at that point. And then he gets there and it's like, well, I'm never satisfied. And, you know, I'm not enough. So on both ends of the spectrum is really a low sense of self of like, I don't know who I am and I don't, you know, or I'm not good enough to achieve greatness, or I haven't really achieved it just yet. Really low sense of self and self-worth and self-esteem. Whereas the positive sense of self, your strong identity being rooted in Christ, knowing I am loved, I do have value. I have been given a mandate to go out and achieve greatness, to take dominion. Those things spur us on to say, I know who I am. I know what I can achieve. So for me, I think about it. If there's a test that I should ace and I just don't work hard at all on it and I get a 95, like, I shouldn't really be all that satisfied. You go, well, you got a 95 on the test. Like, I could have gotten 100 if I tried. I didn't try at all. And so I'm not satisfied because I didn't try. It wasn't earned, which is interesting when I was looking at the definition for complacency is, what did they call it? They called it basically an unearned satisfaction is what they said. Like,
that's good.
I thought it was a great definition. Like, yeah, you haven't really earned it, but you can be satisfied. And that's what creates the complacency rather than an earned satisfaction. Like, you know what? I did work my tail off.
Which is where contentment is, comes in.
Correct. I worked my tail off and I got an 88 on the test, but man, I gave it my very best. I'm going to be content with that because I know internally my identity is I give it my very best. And this was my very best I had to offer. How upset can I be when I gave it my best and maybe I got an 88? I'll try a little harder. I'll learn from these things and I'll grow. So my identity is in working hard. My identity is in growth. My identity is in giving it my very best rather than the external, well, I got to get here. If only I could reach this plateau, if only I make this much money, then you make that much money. Like if you had told me 5-6 years ago or 10 years ago when I started therapy, like what I'd be making now, I'd be like, die a happy man. You get to this point, like, oh, I don't know, not enough type of thing, you know? So it's all in perspective, but it's also in the identity of like, you know what? It really wasn't an external thing. I could be just as content when I was making way less back then as I am now. Because I'm working my tail off back then, I'm working my tail off today. God's blessed me. I'm grateful. I've maintained perspective, but my identity is rooted in internal stuff, not external stuff.
This was a tough episode for us to do just because, I mean, one of the things we've learned when doing this podcast is sometimes different audiences need to hear different things.
Yeah.
And when we first started, we did feel like a lot of people really need to hear the, hey, don't be lazy. Don't be complacent. Get up and put your video games down and spend a little bit, few more hours working out, a little bit less hours, you know, playing Fortnite or whatever it is. And obviously, I still think there's a crowd that probably needs to hear that. But when you're 121 episodes in, and I'm sure we've got some listeners that have been with us for most of those or a lot of those, we realize that maybe this message is what needs to be heard as well, which is the other side of the coin. And there is a middle ground, as you will find with most things. You can sway too far in one direction. Obviously, this is by no means, hopefully you're not taking from this that we're saying, hey, just sit on your rear end at the end of the day and watch Netflix because you're satisfied. Like, that's not good either. That's again the other side of things that you should not be swinging too far into.
If you're doing that every day, yeah. Every
yeah, day. Exactly. Obviously, you know, there's a middle ground. And so, yeah, hopefully we have articulated it well enough to where you kind of understand what we're getting at. I think the three keys that Joe had were great: gratitude, perspective, and identity. If you have those three, you will be content, but you will also be able to continue to strive for greatness and stay hungry and not be complacent, which is that unearned satisfaction. I love that definition. That's great. So those are the only thoughts I had.
Yeah. When we'll wrap here. I mean, this was a tough one for me to put together because I very much struggle with this. So in just full transparency, like, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at being satisfied with where I'm at. It's always going to the next thing. I've been wrestling with this a lot in the last year. My journal, I journal about these things and I write in my journal a lot about these concepts of, like, am I enough? When can I be enough? Why would I not be enough? Those type of things. I think there's a level of just really working through this on your own. We can have this podcast. Hopefully this does help. This is going to be an internal struggle for every young, godly young man, every man, every person to really wrestle with themselves on, like, finding exactly, as you said, finding that balance in there. So this is just an encouragement for you guys to say, okay, I need to find balance. I need to find perspective. If you go toward the lazy, complacent side, find a little more balance to the other side. If you go toward the ultra driven, always hungry, never satisfied, find a little balance and swing it back. It's going to take a little bit. You may overcorrect in some areas. Think of physics on the pendulum. And you'll correct back. It's just going to be a work in progress. But the key is always, once again, being rooted in Christ and realizing that at the end of the day, man, you're loved by Him. He's given you purpose. He's given you something to go out and achieve. Go out and achieve it. Work unto the Lord. Do your work as unto the Lord. Give it your best because you can. We could say you have to, but at the end of the day, you can. You get to.
Yep.
And that's a really, that's the valuable perspective that we want to have. So anything else?
Nothing else.
All right. With that, we will wrap right here. This has been episode 121 of the Godly Man Podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.